From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Bread. And the Wanderer has... both my Wanderers have returned, boys and girls. this is Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, where it's going to be baking hot tomorrow. But the thunder is unbelievable. If you like sheet lightning, wonderful time to come here. We're in the east of Slovakia, in the town of Poprad, hence Postcard from Poprad. In the UK, he's probably going to whinge that he can't figure out how to put four knots in his handkerchief for the hot weather tomorrow. It's Lee Banks.
Hello, everybody. I'm not whinging about not being able to put four knots in my handkerchief. I'm whinging about that grand old English custom of going out and doing your gardening when it gets hot.
Well, that's
because
your
yesterday, fault. Yeah. like the manly man I am, I went down and chopped a tree down. And now I can't walk, Eric or Rachel. I can't walk. I've broke me back.
Why? Did you chop your legs off?
Something like that. And God knows where she is. If this had been...
I can tell you where I am.
Go on, then.
I am in the Northern Territory, which is at the very top of the country, in a lovely town, a very tiny little town called Daly Waters.
Daly Waters. That's a
and
very
guess what they have on the breakfast menu tomorrow at the pub across the road.
Go on.
I can't give you the exact name because it's it's radio, but I'll abbreviate. They're called bottom nuts.
Right.
Bottom nuts, like clinkers.
I think they're talking
about
eggs.
Oh, no, they're those space things, Klingons, sorry.
Right, let's get on, boys and girls. We've got so much news to get through this week on your alternative news programme. Hi to the guys wherever you happen to be at Talk Radio, Replay and everywhere else. Do get in touch with us via rti.fm. You can see all the stations down there, and we welcome you all. US actor Joe Gonley, best known for his role as the shopkeeper Ike Godsey. I've never heard of this. In the long-running TV series The Waltons.
Good night, Joe. Yeah.
Lovely.
Mm.
It was everything he served was in a paper bag, and they were simpler times, weren't they, Lee?
They were very simple times. Simple people, simple times, simple enjoyments. And he was one of the enjoyments of television, wasn't he?
He was. I remember, he dressed and as did, shopkeepers back in the day, they dressed very smartly.
He did. He always had a shirt on and a tie, didn't he? With one of those wing collars.
Just a sec, Lee, sit back a bit from your microphone. You're overdoing it.
Ladies and gentlemen, he just told me to sit closer to it before we came on. I'm only doing what I'm told.
You can't do anything, right?
In technical terms, Lee, you were overmodulating.
Oh, that was because I was doing my posh voice.
Well, don't do your posh voice. I don't like it. But anyway.
He was a very smartly dressed shopkeeper, as they all were back. Remember the television program Petticoat Junction? The gentleman who ran the general store there always wore that lovely striped shirt with the armbands, and he looked very smart always.
Actually always wears a shirt and tie and a jumper, but one of those jumpers that has a big zip up the front.
Right. Are you despairing like me, dear listener? Because I am. I mean, so
Rachel and I have not had a proper chat since I came back from the States, and then she's been tarry diddling around the billabongs of Gonnetville, and all of a sudden now we're just having a little chat.
I think you can give me a little bit of leeway here, Eric. In the last two days, I have travelled and I have done the conversion. 1,887 miles, 691 yards.
Can we have that in proper money?
Improper
money for the real audience.
We've done about 3,486 kilometres.
Jeez.
That's what I did. I did 3,800 miles across America, Rachel, and I can sympathise with you. It's not easy.
In how many days, though, Lee?
3 weeks.
Yeah, I've done 2 days.
So
you can buy me a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
What were you driving?
A car.
What sort of a car?
It's a Subaru Outback, my word.
Is it really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kangaroos can't catch that, can they?
Rock on, Tommy. Anyway, also passed to another world this week is the actress Anna Wing, best known for her role as Lou Beale in the best soap opera on the planet, EastEnders.
The third
best
soap
opera on
the planet.
That's an oxymoron.
Why?
Best and soap
you're
opera.
Just like an oxen, you're not like a moron.
Well, no, I did say best soap opera, not
it
me.
Is.
It is.
It can't be. You've got Coronation Street and Emmerdale before that.
Who?
Prisoner was the best soap opera.
It was. I agree.
It was brilliant.
I'll rephrase it then, Rach. The best current soap opera.
You're still wrong, because Prisoner's made a comeback in the form of Wentworth, so let's say best British soap opera.
Oh, come on, that's clutching at straws now.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't clutch at straws, I only carcasses at the moment.
Yeah. Right, yeah, you're wrong.
You only clutch at straws to see if it's you who goes over the wall, don't you, Rachel?
Yeah, Rachel, mm-hmm. let me explain mm-hmm. this to you. Coronation Street. Aye, lad. Can you understand what's it? No, can't understand a word. Emmerdale. Aye, lad. We're going to pub and we're going to go to see the cows on the way through and the carving. And that's
what
all
they do to the cows?
They're watching the carving.
Carving the cat in the carvery. Yes, exactly. You see, all about old rural England. You've got the suburbs of England and rural England there in one massive soap opera that follows itself. How can you suggest something that talks like, here, who right now? What's this all about it? Get your key off. I want to see you naked. What's that? How can that be a soap opera?
Well, you just turned it
we
into
need to
one.
Come to subtitles.
That was pretty good off the top of my head, actually, wasn't it? To get sex, violence, and everything into it in 2 seconds.
Can we?
I don't watch any of it, but I thought that was brilliant.
Is there anywhere in Australia that sells decoders, Rachel?
I believe they do. At the moment, in Daly Waters, there is only a pub and a petrol station, so I am at troubles to actually find one. But I have a decoder in my brain, and I understood pretty much all of what he said. It was something like this: blah 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 blah.
Exactly.
Exactly, and that's how EastEnders sounds.
Rubbish. You just don't understand.
Are we going to do this poor old Lou Beale, who's been dead, Anna Wing? She's set off on the wing and a prayer into the great yonder of soap opera things.
Yes.
She's in good company.
She's
dead.
She was a really... Actually, she was one of the original cast of EastEnders.
She was.
And a very good actress as well, as I... would like
well, she'd been around a lot of years. She'd been around for 95 years, and she'd done a lot of stuff in that time. She used to be one of those dancing people as well, didn't she?
Yep.
Reminds me a little bit of the lovely Jeannie Cooper from The Young and the Restless, Corbin Burnson's mother. She played Catherine Chancellor on The Young and the Restless for about 8 gazillion years. She passed away recently. She was a veteran of American soap opera, and that makes me a bit misty about her too. I won't tell you in which places it makes me misty.
And moist. That'd be a nice...
Right, come on, boys and girls, we're going to be serious for a moment. The drummer Lee Rigby's family has said a massive thank you, and I respect everything they've all said, because what they are actually saying is now that the intentions of the killers have backfired. What's actually happened is the memory of Lee Rigby will be remembered as one of a hero. And absolutely right, too. There's been tremendous tributes for him in Manchester across the week. And I'm very proud of the Mancunians for doing that. They did a wonderful job. Mm-hmm. The Fusiliers were marching through. There was nobody being ridiculous. And I genuinely applaud what Manchester's done for the young man and the family that remain. And he will not go away now. He will remain a hero forever.
He will. So what I love about this story, actually, was the little touch with his 2-year-old son, Jack, wearing Manchester United shirt emblazoned with his dad's nickname, Riggers.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a beautiful... That actually sort of reminds me of John F. Kennedy Jr. saluting.
Yes.
It really brought back that image to me, and I think that's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I think what you're saying is right, and I think Manchester, which does have a bad press because of people like me, tends to not really get the marks of respect that for some of the things it does. And really, Manchester is a place that likes heroes. That's why it has such major football teams and things like that. And they have made their mark of respect on this bloke who should be classed as a hero because he died in such horrific circumstances.
Indeed. Well, I'm sure Lee would be very proud of this one for sure. The three lions are there. We're back.
He's lying. I'm not three lions. We had this discussion before and you said you're
a lion. The lion's a
liar.
Excuse me.
There is one lion. They're not even on an egg.
You know what? This is what I call smell a radio. Because I smell pants on fire.
Well, what happened to the Aussies at the end of the rugby tour? We trounced them.
A lion. Well, one lion.
To be fair, this is not really anything that we're very good at. So that was kind of a gimme.
Yeah, but you play with the rugby ball for football.
Yes, but you play like three different games in one. It just doesn't make any sense. So, of course, you're going to win it because it's pointless. It really is pointless. And I've got to tell you, it was actually very aggressively celebrated in Queensland at the time. I was actually travelling down the Sunshine Coast when Eric and I had that dreadful internet connection when Lee was asleep at 4:30 in the morning in America.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rob was at home consuming three bottles of scotch, three cases of beer and several glasses of red wine, which ended up on the floor because most of the people that live in Queensland are actually from the UK, Ireland and Scotland. So they were all quite excited about all this. I thought it was kind of pointless and silly, and we should just move on. I would like to discuss for just one moment, if I can,
yes,
a bit of a triumph.
Yes.
I have no interest in sport, as you all know. I think it's pointless and stupid, and it's just ridiculous. And I think that there are more important sporting events, i.e., Lee, you know, felling trees. However, we have got a young gentleman in our Ashes side.
Oh, here we go. 98 not out. Yeah, I know.
I'm just going to make a cup of coffee.
But it's a beautiful story because he got called up 2 days beforehand. He and his family got on a plane, flew there. He went straight to the ground, got presented his baggy green by Glenn McGrath, which is a big deal.
Now, can you explain what a baggy green is? Because nobody will understand.
Baggy green is the green hat that we wear in the Test series.
Mm-hmm.
It's a badge of honour. It's when you get your baggy green, it's a really big deal. He's 19 years old, this kid. He's put into the side as a kind of a test tube kid. He was put in there as a training child because we have recently dumped our coach Mickey Arthur and grabbed old Wolf Lehman from South Australia, the town that I hail from originally. But hasn't he done well in his first test? My goodness, and he's only there. He was only there really to be a backup, and it was great because his dad was interviewed, and his dad is one of those like quintessential Aussie blokes. They don't cry. They show no emotion at all. And he was standing there and he said, we just watched our son get his baggy green. He got all teary and he excused himself from the media for a moment while he got himself together. And it was just a really lovely moment. And for him to get 98 not out on his first knock is pretty good.
And he's got
because
a wicket.
We thought we were going to get slaughtered.
And he's got a wicket, Rach.
Yeah.
He's got a wicket as well now.
Well, I'm glad you've got no interest in sport, Rachel.
Well, I've got interest in him because I clearly unlawfully have an interest in 19-year-old boys.
Well, it's more Rachel, you're being a proud Aussie, aren't you?
Yeah,
I am.
Nothing wrong with being a proud Aussie.
I'd be proud of anything, and it's, you know, regardless of this sport or not. This is a really big achievement for a young guy who got caught up at the last minute, and it's just a really nice Australian story.
Yeah, indeed.
So Go Aussie, go.
Right. So the three Lions are back. The Lions rugby team trounced the Aussies. A British team based in Milton Keynes takes the F1 in Germany. And Andy Murray
and
wins Wimbledon.
So should we move on now?
I think we might as well. It's completely ruined my old story.
Yeah, completely ruined all my jokes as well.
Thank you very much.
Everything that me and Eric had rehearsed.
Rachel's back. Rachel's in the middle of nowhere with a great internet connection, and she is back.
Yeah. The wealth divide slowing boys' education. What a load of rubbish.
Well, it isn't, is it?
Yes.
No, it isn't.
Yes.
It's a simple fact of life. It always has been and always will be. Mm. If you come from what would be classed as an upper crust or a posh or a rich or a well-off background, you are almost certainly going to do better in your school work than you would if you come from an impoverished background like what I do. Eric will now tell us about his middle-class background.
Why?
I've got to disagree vehemently here.
So, go on, Rach, you have a go first.
I disagree with respect, though, because I know that the gentleman sitting to my left, my betrothed, Rob Taliente, is a very successful person. He did very well in school. Mm. He earns a buttload of money, which is not the reason why I love him, but
it helps. I know.
And he went to a public school. He came from a working class background. I think it is up to the individual to make it what it is. If you come from some sort of privileged background, if you're a lazy git, you're a lazy git.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're stupid, you're stupid.
Yeah, Rach, the point I was going to make is this is all based around being able to read. And my argument's quite simply this. When you get to when you get to 16 is your problem after that. But up until that point, you know, when you've got little'uns, I read to my little'uns when they were little'uns, and every night I read to them. Now, I did not have a lot of money at that time because I was starting in business. In fact, it was quite a struggle sometimes, but we laugh about it now. The fact is, you've got two choices. You can either go down the pub, have a packet of fags, or buy a book. A children's book, it costs you like a buck, a euro, an Australian dollar. You can get them in the charity shops, for God's sake. You can read to your kids for less money than you can buy beer for. So at that point, I'm sorry, I don't buy this ridiculous thing that, oh, we're poor, we're never going to do any good. There are genuinely ordinary people that have come up through the ranks, and I bet if you go back to the roots of it all, it's because their parents cared a little bit.
Yeah, but I agree with you both. I think you've both made very fair points. But what you're actually doing is focusing it down to the individuals. And there are individuals who always book the trend. What this is talking about is a trend. And the simple fact is, if you come from a poorer background in the UK, certainly, and I know in Slovakia it's the same, all over the world it's the same. If you come from a poorer background, there is less chance that your parents are actually going to spend what little money they've got on a book to read to you in the twilight as you go to sleep in your feather-down pillows. Mm-hmm. That, therefore, puts you at a disadvantage, whereas somebody who has a little bit more money, which means ultimately they've got better time, they've got more quality time, they then do indulge their children in the ways that you've said is the right way to do it.
They do better
in life.
When my daughter was quite small, and I was actually at university, and we were living on a government subsidy because I was at uni, we had no money, very little money. I couldn't afford to buy books, but what I did was I would tell her stories. I would use my imagination, and I would tell her stories. And it doesn't take much. You don't have to be J.K. Rowling to, you know, invent a story for a four-year-old child. And, you know, my Robbie, who is sitting next to me and swilling a beer as we speak.
Hello, Robbie.
Hello, Rob.
G'day.
G'day.
His one of his parents couldn't speak English.
Yeah. And?
So, his mum was from Newcastle.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had a, you know, probably one of the most disadvantaged backgrounds, and has turned out to be very. His brother
good on,
is,
good
a,
on them all.
Is a very.
Let's move on. We've got so much news to get in this week. It's unbelievable. Edward Snowden is, in my opinion, now losing the plot. The reason I say that is he's put some stuff out. I think it was him onto WikiLeaks, where he's claiming.
Oh, there you go.
He's claiming there is a collaboration between Microsoft and the American intelligence services. And this is my reason why I think, Mr. Snowden, you've lost the plot. There are nasty people in the world that would like to teach others how to make bombs. If they're going to do that and stick it via an email or some PDF file, I would want the intelligence services around the world to know what's going on with these nasty bomb people. Therefore, I think it's a responsibility, if nothing else, of Microsoft, to share the encoding methods with the intelligence services to stop these little oiks from blowing places up. What the hell is wrong with
Boston,
that?
Boston, for example, you know? I mean, those the Boston bombers, the fella who was killed by the police.
Yep.
He got most of his information online and in training, but they do get it online. And if they need to be, there needs to be a buffer, and there needs to be a gateway that says, alert, bomb.
Yeah, well, that's what, you know, taking it to its lowest common denominator, that's why we have a passport system, to know when people are doing stuff. This is no different. I'm sorry, Mr. Snowden, lots of sympathy for you on some bits, but I really believe you've lost the plot now. It's gone bonkers.
Well, I have no sympathy with him on any bits at all. He is an absolute nutter. He should go to where are they holding Julian Assange these days? At the Ecuadorian embassy or something?
Yeah.
Put him with him.
Yeah.
And lock them up. Just lock them up in there and let them appear on a balcony and then shoot them.
Okay.
And so we
stand up for freedom of speech. So there we have the grand defence of
freedom of speech. Is one thing. Freedom of stupid speech is quite another.
I can't see how this is stupid speech. This is what's actually happened with this story is very simple, very straightforward. Edward Snowden has been made the scapegoat to refocus the story away from the horrendous crimes that the governments of this world are committing against the general population, and it's all now focused on him and describing him in all sorts of derogatory ways. The truth behind this story is that, for whatever reason, he managed to whistleblow, which I think is a terrible word, he managed to whistleblow one of the greatest, well, probably, certainly, the greatest invasion of conglomerate privacy that this world has ever witnessed. And he now is being chased across the world, vilified, insulted,
Lee,
for doing what was right.
If I agree with you...
Yeah.
If I was to agree with you, how do you stand on the fact that he now thinks it's clearly wrong that Microsoft and the intelligence agencies are sharing knowledge about encoding systems so that nasty people can't do stuff?
I'm not sure he really is saying that this is wrong. And I don't think this story is necessarily about the right and wrong of what the security forces were doing. What it's actually about is about the semantics of invasion of privacy. Mm-hmm. And the invasion of privacy here is absolutely terrifying. And somebody had to stand up and point this out. And in this case, it was Edward Snowden.
Well, okay, I'll take your point. But anyway, there's actually some claims being made at the moment that Microsoft also worked to give the NSA easier access to its cloud storage scheme or system called SkyDrive, which I've been using for donkey's years. Apparently it's got 250 million users. And all I'm going to say is, well, hello to the intelligence agencies around the world, because that's how we distribute Postcard from Poprad to everywhere. So nice to have your company. Nice to have your company.
If I could just interrupt you for 1 second, my Robbie is furiously writing notes on an ATM slip, I can't read them. So I'm going to let him just have a quick 2 seconds on this, if it's all right with you guys.
Absolutely. He'll be, I was going to say more intelligent, but he's a man, isn't he?
my point was just going to be that once you go online, you're public.
Yes.
If that makes sense. It's not a private, I've never assumed it to be a private thing. Once you go online, you send an email, you're publishing something in writing.
Mm.
So you have to be willing for people to read it, if that makes sense.
No, I agree with you, Rob. And I would say, I mean, one of the things that we've done in companies I've been to, and even, and the funny thing is the chairman now repeats this regularly in this company. When I've done training about the internet, which I've done hours and hours of, the one thing I always say to people is never, ever put anything on the internet unless you're prepared for it to bite you on the bottom 20 years down the track.
You're quite right, and I agree with what Rob says, but what we're actually doing is becoming apologists for the governments of this world by adopting those attitudes. The simple fact is, yes, you are publishing stuff on the internet. What you didn't sign up for was, A, that the governments would have free access to everything to do with your life that you put on the internet. This is why I fought against Facebook and everything else since it all started. But the simple fact is, what everybody is ignoring is the simple fact that these governments have been covertly breaking into your privacy.
I don't think it's covertly. There's so much news.
Why did Obama lie about it then? If it wasn't covert, if it's not covert, you don't have to lie about it.
Well, that's probably because he doesn't watch CNN and all the reports about how everybody goes into it.
But it's a simple fact. The government's lied about it.
He watches Game of Thrones, will
you? Of course, you know. Anyway, moving on quickly because we've only got a couple of minutes in part one to go. The British government have issued a warning to elderly people, Lee, and very young people, Rach, in case you come over here, as the UK gets ready for a whole week of warm weather.
I know, that's more than we've had in a century.
Please tell me what this warm weather is.
27 degrees Celsius, 80.6 Fahrenheit.
It is currently 10:04 p.m. I am in the Northern Territory. And it is 28.5 degrees at night.
Oh.
So I don't care.
So basically you don't care if Lee dies?
I care if Lee dies. But he's not in the Northern Territory, so this really doesn't apply to me in so much as you can keep going.
Well, that's very kind of you, thank you.
Yeah, it's the same Rach, in the winter. They moan about -2 degrees.
No, it's just not true. We have the worst climate in the world, and it's been deliberately created for us by all sorts of weird things that have gone on.
Yeah, but
the simple fact is, 80 degrees in Britain, you are feeling like you're melting. But the problem is, and this is the problem, the roadways start to melt at that in Britain. Nowhere else in the world have I come across melting roadways. Oh. And when it freezes, when it gets below 0 degrees in Britain, what happens is that the whole of the transport system comes to a halt.
Yes,
we can't deal with anything other than like 28 degrees Fahrenheit.
Anyway, gonna go, boys and girls. Just leave you with this passing comment as a top tip from the Department of Health in the UK for all you Brits.
Yeah.
What you should do, apparently, is have cooling baths and showers. Wear loose clothing. Identify the coolest room in the house to seek sanctuary in. Fair enough. We'll be back with part two in a minute. Don't go away.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.